time.
Ryan spared his old friend a wry grin, and then indicated to Christy and Dean to join him. The one-eyed warrior figured that they were far enough down the road to be fairly well covered if they kept low. There was a slight rise in the land, and it was only the Sekhman's slackness that allowed Ryan to catch a glimpse of him above that rise. Going first, Ryan slung his Steyr over his back and slunk down onto the dusty, dirty blacktop. He crawled rapidly on his belly. He couldn't allow himself to rise enough to scramble or run at a crouch across the road. The only chance for any of them was to keep tight to the ground and stay unseen above the rise. While JB and Jack watched the far post for any sign of action, a closer look revealing a slightly thicker clump of vegetation that was the only sign of camouflage, Mildred and Doc watched the left-hand post on their side of the road. Meanwhile, Dean and Christy anxiously watched Ryan make his progress, only releasing small sighs of relief when he attained the cover of the other side. Signaling it was clear, Ryan waited for Christy to proceed next. The red-haired beauty dropped to the ground and began her journey, aware of the danger not just by the adrenaline rush, but also from the way her ascension tresses clung to her neck. She could smell the old tarmac, the scent of dead animals and ancient gasoline. It mingled with the excitement in her belly and made her queasy. She knew that she, like Ryan and soon Dean, was completely vulnerable here. If they were attacked, she'd have no chance of saving herself. It made her hug the road, balancing this with her need for speed. Ryan watched her progress, as he would watch Dean's, willing her to hurry. The others didn't dare look, keeping their attention focused on the sentry posts. It was hard. There was a denser concentration of foliage here, and they had no idea of what kind of defense the Sec Force may be concealing. Christy soon reached the other side of the road.
Gaia be praised.
Ryan quickly signaled for Dean to come across. The younger Carter was keen to make rapid time and set about his task with an almost reckless abandon. He crawled across the road with speed, almost heedless of the fact that he was sometimes rising above the tarmac in his haste.
Fireblast, Christy. He'll be seen.
I know, Ryan.
Almost as though he heard his father, Dean slowed fractionally and kept himself level with the road. Dean began to move across the tarmac. The two parties now made rapid progress toward their prey. Each aimed for the sec post on their side of the blacktop, and each cut through the thin cover of the overgrown fields as swiftly as possible. Although they could disguise their progress by keeping low, the level of cover in the old fields was poor, and it was a balance between speed and keeping themselves unseen. JB led the way for his party, with Jack bringing up the rear. Doc was just in front of him, and Mildred followed on JB's heels. The armorer slowed as they reached a sparse section, and Jack came around to crouch beside him.
Not much.
Right. No way we can all proceed. You reckon you can flank them without being spotted?
JB indicated a path around to the far side of the sec post. There was still a little cover, but maybe enough for someone with Jack's skill.
Can try. Better go. Ryan signals soon.
Right. We could... Now where the hell... Damn, that boy's fast.
Over on the other side of the blacktop, Ryan had cut a swath through the undergrowth with ease, and he had now established a position within 100 yards of the sec post. They were so close that Christy could see the two men within, drinking from a canteen and murmuring to each other, paying scant attention to the road and the undergrowth around them.
Guess they don't get a lot of trouble here, Dad.
Except maybe today.
Dean's father cast a glance over to the far side of the blacktop and cursed himself when he realized that he was staring through foliage to an almost bare expanse of field on the opposite side of the road. There was no way JB and the others could get that far forward. It definitely gave them a harder task. It was then that he caught a shining reflection from the corner of his eye. Far-flung, it came from a metallic object to one side of the sec post and was shining in a regular pattern. Jack. Ryan allowed himself a smile. He should have known they would have found a way to even their odds. He got ready to signal. JB saw Jack settle and then direct a signal to the far side of the road. Looking ahead, he could see that the post was manned by a pair of sec men, neither of whom was paying much attention. One had wandered away from cover and was urinating onto a tree, while the other was resting his chin on his hands, staring at the road and seemingly daydreaming.
It would seem that they are not accustomed to regular traffic, John Barrymore.
Yeah, and they expect everyone to be using the road.
I find that a quite satisfactory situation.
Well, Doc...
What?
An owl wasn't something that you'd expect to hear in the middle of the day, which was why it was the perfect signal for Ryan to use. It may perplex the SEC men if they were listening, and momentarily distract them while the companions burst from cover.
What the hell was that?
Ryan, Christy, and Dean came out of the undergrowth and fanned out, moving across the ground at speed. They were so swift, and the SEC men so slow to react, that they were almost on top of them by the time that the guards knew what was happening. Ryan held his Sig Sauer blaster in one hand and the Panga in the other. As one man swiveled to cover Christy, believing that his partner would take Ryan, and the other did likewise with Dean, Ryan leapt into the middle of the blaster net. He swiftly brought the hilt of the Panga and the Sig Sauer butt down in a simultaneous motion. Both SEC men slumped to the ground unconscious.
That was almost too easy.
On the other side of the road, the others were finding their task just as easy. At the signal, Jack, Mildred, and Doc had broken cover and fanned out as well. Meanwhile, Jack had skipped out from his position and taken out the urinating SEC man with a blow from the heel of his hand to the base of the man's skull. The man dropped without knowing what had hit him. The daydreaming SEC man had been jolted from his reverie and vacillated over which of the three advancing attackers to train his blaster on, a decision that was taken from him by cold steel at the base of his neck.
Drop or chill?
From here, it was easy for the companions to regroup on the blacktop with their prisoners, stripped of their weapons.
Why haven't you just chilled us?
Because we want safe passage into your ville, and we don't want to make any more enemies.
Then why not just use the road like anybody else with decent business?
Because, my dear fellow, after we had been attacked by that heinous flying craft, and replied in an equally aggressive manner, there was no guarantee of a hospitable welcome.
Say what?
Don't worry. Just, what was it they used to say in those old vids, Mildred?
Take us to your leader.
So they did. The SEC men led them through the center of Crossroads, right to the heavily guarded and opulent home of the Baron, John Robertson, as laid back as J.B. remembered from the old stories. For when the Baron saw the sorry state of his SEC patrol and heard Ryan's story, his only comment to his SEC men was,
"Never mind that damn plane. You boys were just lucky these people ain't hostile. Shit, I'm gonna have to toughen up on you assholes."
Having proven their worth by taking out the guard post, and their intentions by not chilling their captives, Robertson was more inclined to take the companion side of the story regarding the biplane.
"Well, I'd say that you had every right to try and bring that fucker down."
"By the three Kennedys, it's not often that one comes to meet a man of such gracious equanimity."
"Say what?"
"He means that we don't often come across barons, or anyone for that matter, who'd see our side of things over a firefight with their own sick."
"Well, why the hell didn't he just say that?"
"We've been asking the same question for years."
"Well, never mind. Who the hell says that I'd take your side?"
"But..."
"Shit, I don't know if I'd feel so inclined if it was one of mine, but it wasn't. We don't have nothing like that around here. Yeah, people have talked of a machine like that, but we just put that down to jolt."
It was a startling revelation, but there wasn't time for the companions to think too closely about the implications of what the Baron said. The man had already launched into a long, rambling discourse on Crossroadsville, with a number of asides about people whose names meant nothing to them, but obviously inspired great laughter among the Baron's people. The gist of his dissertation was that the ville had been a small truck stop in pre-dark times. As some kind of network and civilization had begun to build once more, the old blacktop roads that threaded across the country became invaluable trade routes for convoys that began to ferry goods and chattel across the remains of the land. So the Crossroads population had grown and prospered as they played host to a succession of traders, many with Jack to spare for a good time. The arable fields that the companions had come through were virtually useless. The same muty plant genetics that had caused the stunted dwarf elms had also affected the crops, so that some scrub farming was done near the ville in order to keep a basic crop going and to grow grain for the ville's own potent brand of alcohol, but otherwise the whole economy of the town was dependent on trade.
"So I guess I don't really have any objection to you folks staying on a while, but you know that you'll have to work for your keep."
"Never had it any other way."
"Good. So I'll tell you what. You can all spend some time with my SEC and sharpen these stoop bastards up a little. Not taking anything from you, but they shouldn't have been taken that easily. Other than that, you, One Eye, and Fedora can be bar SEC, while you two boys can help on the farming."
"Oh, great."
'cause I'll tell you what, we're short-handed right now. There's some kind of sickness started, and our doc here ain't too sure what it is.'
A coldness ran through Jack as he heard this, and he thought of his nightmare. Christy and Mildred exchanged glances.